Hallelujah. Okay, I know the CAP program is over, and a lot of people will be receiving experiences. A lot of people have some questions. I just thought and see if there are questions I can answer. And if I cannot answer it, then go and ask Jesus himself. Let me write Bible. I get Holy Ghost to give anybody. So if you ask me a question where I know the answer, go and ask Jesus himself. Anybody, any particular question in line with the last program we had? I've received a lot of text messages, a lot of emails, people sharing experiences, and it excites people like me to know that we didn't waste our time having that program. So, if any question?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. From what I read your book, the book you wrote, The Mystery of Iniquity, the first question is, you said that the serpent, I want to know the difference between the serpent and the Satan. And my reason for asking the question is, you said that Satan introduced sex to serpents. You meant mention of that in chapter 16, from the third paragraph and the fourth paragraph. You said that Satan introduced serpents into sex. And you say also that he anointed him. So I want to understand the difference.
Sorry, that what? Are you quoting? I have quoted now the paragraph and read it.
Yes, and from chapter 16, he said Satan introduced sex to serpents for pleasure. And in the fourth paragraph also, he said Satan anointed serpent with an instable desire. So I want to know the difference between serpent and Satan. That's my first question.
I would really want to see that quote. First and foremost, I didn't write any book.
Is this not your...
No, wait. I want to make it clear. I didn't write any book. I preached a message.
Okay.
And it was transcribed into book form.
Okay, sir.
Okay. So, I am a talker, not a writer. So, it's a sermon book. But important thing is, you want to know the difference between
the serpent and the Satan.
The serpent is an animal that was created and kept in the Garden of Eden. And Satan is that cherub, that angel, Lucifer, that rebelled against God and was pushed out of heaven and is moving about now and causing problem for all creatures.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, and another question from the same book. You say that this one is from the Bible. It's Genesis 2 verse 25, that we are both naked. So I agree with that word, that we are naked, and with that word you said that they eat. But the question there is, in chapter 16, in page 16 of that same book, The Mystery of Iniquity, you said that the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden was sex. That you said that the what took place in the Garden of Eden was sex. So I came to read, I come across Genesis chapter 3 verse 22 and verse 24. What I want to emphasize there was verse 24. It said they placed a sword in the east of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim and a flame of sword, which turned towards everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. So my question then now is, if really what they committed there was sex, so why the sword? Because I see, for me, I see no reason for the sword again, because the tree they are talking about, you know, in the Garden of Eden, they were talking about the tree of life, the tree of the one they can eat to nourish their body. But what I'm asking is now is that particular one, why did they put that cherubim, that sword, in chest of everybody? Why don't they leave it there? This is not for. Why don't they leave it there? Why would they put that sword? Since it's sex they committed, why would that be?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is. Let me just go direct. Okay. How long have you been in this church? How long have you been in this church?
This month will be my 10th month.
10?
Yes.
You've been visiting us?
I'm not visiting, I've been regular. I've been coming constantly. I started last year, September.
Okay, you need to really go back to these messages we preach and listen to them very well. It will help you.
Okay. Sir.
Now, we are talking about three sets of threes there. Okay. One was the plant trees for us to eat. We can eat of them. Take care of our physical nourishment. Then there are two other trees that were there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And another tree of life. The tree of life speaks for itself. It means it has fruit there that you will eat and you will have life. But it said there's a tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It said the day you eat of that you will die. It means from that tree there is death. Now the earth from that tree of the knowledge of good and the evil, and this is what it has produced till today, all of us. Now, but there is another tree of life. What it's saying there is that you cannot be a partaker of death and life at the same time. And the tree of life, we know today that Jesus Christ is a tree of life. It means it is a source of life. It produces a fruit. A tree produces a fruit that when you eat, you will have life. And Jesus Christ came in John chapter 6 and he says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So, it means we have two sources there, source of life and source of death. The source of life is the word of God. The source of death is spirit of error from Satan. If you listen to his error and act in it, on it, it will produce death. If you listen to the word of God and you act on it, it will produce life. And so he brought the cherubs and prevented us from receiving life. That is, fellowship between God and man was broken, protected by those cherubs with flames of sword, so that man could not have access again, direct access to God like he had in the Garden of Eden, until Christ came and made a way again. Can we clap our hands for Jesus, the tree of life? Okay.
Thank you, sir. Permit
God bless
me,
you.
Permit me, sir, please.
The last one now.
The last one?
Yes.
You talked about Adam that Adam also was part of the sin committed by Eve. But here, though this question came from my colleague who also read the book, she said that it was not the fault of Adam, because she said that in Matthew 19, he said, you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. And Adam himself has already married Eve, being the wife. And the Bible says in Matthew 19, according to her, he said, that you can't put away your wife except for fornication. And fornication is meant only for the single. Adultery is also meant for the, is only meant for the married. So I think she's trying to say that you don't supposed to, from what you said, that Adam's supposed to put away the wife or stay away from the wife based on he knew that the wife has already committed sin. So she was like, it's not right that Adam should be partaker of that sin.
Sorry. But Adam was punished.
Yes, Adam was, that is the
so the, your colleague and you are questioning God. Why did God punish Adam? Is that your question?
Not really. As I'm based on what she read in Matthew 19, she said that he said you cannot put away your wife. So, but for the fact that Adam did not put away his wife, he didn't know. She was like, he's not guilty, that he's not supposed to be punished.
That is what I'm saying now.
Yes.
I'm reframing your question to make it clearer. You are not questioning me, you are questioning God. Why should God punish Adam when he is not guilty? That's what your question.
Yes, sir.
You see, the sermon topic there is the mystery of iniquity. When you look at it, the word mystery, it means something is hidden there until it is revealed. The word mystery. What happened in the Garden of Eden? I have tried to explain this several times. Please listen, it will help you. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 was when Apostle Paul made that statement. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That is where we pick that text from. The mystery of iniquity. Now there is another mystery called the mystery of godliness. And that is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, where Apostle Paul says, and without controversy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. Now, there will have been no mystery of godliness if there was no mystery of iniquity. Amen.
Amen.
So now, why is it a mystery? The mystery of godliness, he said, God was manifest in the flesh. That man you were hanging on the cross on Calvary was God. That man, that child that Mary born was God. That man that was hungry and looking for food, the Bible called him Emmanuel. He was God with us. And it's a mystery that the creator of the heavens and the earth can step down from eternity to time, come in there and look for his own. He was looking for his own that he lost in the Garden of Eden. And he finished collecting and did what he wanted to do, paid the price for them through the cross of Calvary. When he finished, he shouted, it is finished. And he went and he was taken back to what he has always been. Now there is the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is how Satan took control of man. Now this is, you know, Apostle Paul was saying the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now for you to understand the church today, what God is doing concerning salvation, he set a pattern in the Old Testament. Every story you see in the Old Testament, it is to make grace age, a church of Jesus Christ and the dealing of God through his church clearer for us. You will not understand salvation until you properly place those shadows, those stories. Every story in the Old Testament has something to do with the church and God and Christ this age. Every story in the Old Testament. And so Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, he says that it is a shadow. The law, all the ordinances, everything you see, that the shadow of things to come. And when you see a shadow, it is because there is an image. The shadow is only telling you there is something, the real thing is somewhere, casting a shadow. From the shadow, if you look at only the shadow, it will only, you the day you now see the true image, then you will understand the shadow better. Now, including all the ordinances. Now, so let's look at how do we relate what happened in the Garden of Eden with the Church of Jesus Christ. Take note, in the Garden of Eden, we had the Spirit of God, God himself. We had Adam, and then we had Eve, and then we had the serpent, and then we had Satan. These were the five characters in the Garden of Eden. Now, God gave his word to Adam. Adam and Eve, they were to live by God's word. Satan came and used serpents and perverted it, misled them. Now watch it. Through Eve, Adam was to reproduce himself. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Through Eve. Now, Satan also was interested in that same woman, so that he too can use an animal seed, plant an animal seed in that same womb, so that a human being can, have a process by which human being can have an animal nature crossed and mixed. If they can mix, then Satan can always come to this animal nature in every human being, anoint you and make you act like an animal. And he did it. He staged his own. What did he do? He planted, he inspired that serpent to seduce Eve, and then planted that animal seed. So his seed together with his gene and that of the woman, together now crossing, they produce a human being that was both animal nature and human nature, called Cain. And that is all he wanted. Cain grew up and went his own way. And then, how do we know? By their fruits you will know them. The first two children on earth, where did they learn how to kill? It is because Cain had an animal. It is animal that kill another animal to eat. So if he can anoint that animal thing in that Cain, then he kill Abel. And when he kill Abel, and do you know,
amen.
Do you know why he killed Abel? Because God spoke, hallelujah, that prophesied in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. If I can kill Abel, that's all. That seed of the woman will not be there again. But you can't defeat the purpose of God.
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. And so what did he do? The serpent, God came, grew up, came to marry his own sons, his own daughters, came from the lineage of Seth, because Seth replaced Abel. Two lines of people, this one with the animal nature producing fine girls. Remember, it is an agenda. Set with his sons, referred to as the sons of God. And the Bible described those women as the daughters of men. And then the two people now married. The sons of God saw those daughters of men, the lineage of Cain, pretty looking, because remember, it was an agenda that only Satan knew what he was working on. And then they crossed to marry. And by the time they marry, all these things cross. The animal nature cross. And before you know what, all human beings, before you know what, had this animal nature there. And then Satan had a field day on mankind. And then the Bible says even the wickedness that was on around, God regretted creating human beings. And so he came through the time of Noah and then wiped out the whole earth. But remember that even Noah and his three children, they still had that nature in them. And so that is why till today all of us came out from the loins of Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Every one of us in the whole world today, and therefore we still had that nature in us. That is why we must be born again. And that is why we need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to deal with that animal nature and change us and convert us and remove that nonsense by the power that he released through the cross on Calvary. But that is not even where my emphasis is, to get the proper picture. Now, the emphasis is God is interested in the womb of Eve. Satan too is interested in the womb of Eve. Now, we have Adam and we have Eve. The same thing also in the New Testament, so that you'll understand why Jesus Christ is referred to as the last Adam. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the last Adam, the first Adam, how did he get his wife? Because there has to be a new creation to take place again. The first creation, Adam lost it. Now listen, how did Adam was put to sleep, and then from his side, yes, something was brought out that formed his wife. Christ, the last Adam, was going to get his own Eve hanging on the cross. John chapter 19. It was pierced by the same side, and the church was given birth to. And that is why the church is referred to as a woman. The bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah. But before Adam in Genesis could meet with his wife, another serpent had come and taken over. Adam placed his seed there in that womb. Serpent also placed his seed there in that same womb. Christ was making us understand that mystery when he said in Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24 about the parable of the wheat and tares. The owner of the farm went and planted good seed in that same farm. The same farm where men slept, because Adam was not there looking when serpent came to sleep with his wife. While men slept, the enemy went and planted tares in the same farm, not another farm. The same womb of Eve. So two groups of people are in the church. The church is a type of Eve. Eve is speaking of the church. And Cain and Abel, speaking of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two groups of people. And then you will notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul was speaking, he made reference. Can we read it from verse 2? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, watch something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Can we read it from verse 2? You see, are you there? My sister is still opening her own, and I want her to open it. Look at it on the screen. He said, "For I am jealous over this Apostle Paul. telling the church in Corinth, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Verse 3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Now, go to verse 13. Go to verse 13. Now, see, for such, you know, when you are reading from verse 13, this from verse 1 to 4, and then you know what happened in the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden, then the picture becomes clearer what is happening in the church, and that's why it is a mystery. Now, for us, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Note verse 15. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So from here, you see that Satan has his ministers. And where are they operating? In the same farm. The same church. A type of serpent coming to preach to Eve, to plant his own seed in Eve. They are planting their own seed of error in the church. Therefore, the church of Jesus Christ today is comprising of two seeds, two groups of people. And the same thing that the womb of Eve produced Cain and Abel, the same thing also, the womb of the church of Jesus Christ is producing these two groups of people, but the foundation of God standard sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, I am building all this for you to understand your question. Now, if you catch this, why was Adam punished? It is the same reason. Why did Christ go to punish? Why was he so punished on the cross on Calvary? Why did he suffer all the reproach? He identified with the fall of his wife and took the curse together for the love he had for his wife. A type of Christ that came down. He's not guilty, but he identified with our sins, took upon himself our iniquity. For upon us the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. In him was no sin, but for our sake he bore all our sins to the cross on Calvary. That is what Adam is typing. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sister.
Hello, church. Now I want to ask a question. Is somebody that is not yet born again receive the Holy Ghost?
In fact, he's the one that can that needs the Holy Ghost very well. Because the Holy Ghost will get you to be born again. You are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Why I ask the question, I had an experience for 12 years ago when I was sick. So that I was in the hospital room that very day. It was in the night. I had a dream. So that dream, like the more elder someone in the family was like in form of a bed, they welcomed their corpse, that is not me. So when the man was doing that incantation, so I waked up from that dream. When I waked up, for me to pray, I burst out in tongue. I was seriously speaking to the extent that even the nuns, the whole hospital, they waked up, everybody rushed. They came close to me. But I was trying to hold myself. I could not be able to control it. My tongue, as if it was shaking like electric, over close to 1 hour. So when they gathered me, they said, let's leave her. They went on their way until I get myself. And then, yes, I'm not yet born again. So, you know, when you are talking about this Holy Ghost baptism, so I know since I've started this church, it seems I have not received. So that I ask the question.
If I ask you, that was your first time of having that type of experience?
Yes, sir.
Now, did your spiritual life change after that day?
After then, my spiritual life changed a little.
A little?
Yes.
That is, you were still seeing your boyfriend once a while.
Yes.
Then small, you can wear trousers.
Yes.
Then small, you can lie, just small lie.
Yes.
Then small, you know. Okay, but it changed small.
Why I ask? Because since I came to this church, you have ministry over Holy Ghost baptism. And I have not had such experience that before.
And even during the Holy Ghost program, nothing happened to you?
Yes, I only follow the anointing or whatever.
During the program?
Yes, but I know that even after this June camp, I noticed my prayer line increased. Even I wake up in the morning.
During this June camp, you fell down under anointing?
Yes, I fell.
So, but you don't know whether it is Holy Ghost you receive or not.
I don't know, because even that tongue I speak then, it was only then, and over 12 years now.
You know, there was something that I told you people during this period. I said three groups of people will be affected in the Holy Ghost program. The first group are those who have never received the Holy Ghost at all. They will be praying, Lord, give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The second group are those who receive an experience before, but they are not sure of what they received. That God should confirm to them what they received. And I think you fell within this category. Because you had an experience that you are confused, you don't know what it was.
Yes, sir.
So God has used this period to confirm to you that it was the Holy Ghost you received. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Of course, the third group, for anybody who may be listening to me for the first time, the third group were those who had the Holy Ghost, but the fire has gone down. They need a revival. And I'm sure they received that revival fire. Yes, please.
Okay. Hello. Shalom. Shalom, church.
Sister Augusta from Austria. That's, God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask two questions. The first one is, when I newly gave my life to Christ, there was one day I was praying on my bed, and then my eyes was opened, and I saw a man from the head to the toe. He was so white, and then I also saw fire above him, that is in the sky. He will use his hand to take the fire and direct to my stomach. Before the incident, there was a mighty wind. I think my spirit was, I don't know how to explain that one, but, and then when he take that fire to my stomach, I will be feeling so much pain that I was now saying, please, it's okay, please. But the more I said no, the more he keeps bringing the fire, and the more painful. So my question is that, could that be the day I received the Holy Spirit? Because that time, I have no idea. I just gave my life to Christ. But after that time, I found out that I could not just go to where my jewelry is. For so many months, I was not putting on jewelry. And then one day, I have to shout, God, I did not tell you that I will not be wearing jewelry anymore. I only said that I will not be putting on attachments. Okay, tomorrow I will put on jewelry. And see, I found out that I could not wear it again. That one is number one. Then, the second one is, anytime I close my eyes, and every time I sing, my eyes will be open. And the people God is showing me is the people I don't even know. Maybe they are in the hospital bed. Maybe somebody wants to kill somebody. Maybe somebody that is a different, children sick, or somebody drowned in the water, or somebody with so much pain, leg pain, or somebody drink poison. But I don't know why God is showing me those things. Is it that He wants me to pray for them, or He wants me to be praying for people that are sick? Because each time I see people that are sick, I feel pain, and I would, one of my mind would be saying, pray for this person, but I would be struggling with that migraine. That one would be a bed. What if you receive this dream? What if this person, no healing or so? So that one is the second question, sir. Thank you, sir. Shalom, church.
Shalom, Sister Augusta. God bless you. What you received, your first experience, was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The evidence proves it. The life change. Your test will change. Your spirit will change. Everything will change. That is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you can say, I am born again. All things are passed away. Now, when you come to Christ, listen very well. When now you are born again, and I repeat, because my sister is talking about, I was not born again, then I received the Holy Ghost. You don't even understand what it means to be born again. Nobody is born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what you mean by born again. It is another way. You either say, I am born again, or I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They mean the same thing. Now, when you are born again, you are baptized into a body. And you become a functional member of that body. No member of Christ is redundant. A gift, you must have a gift. For you to know that when you are born again, you are not redundant. And then I will show you in the scripture how you will regret it one day for not using that gift. And that gift determines your ministry. Now, one of the ministries that God gives His people, one of them is that intercessory ministry. And that is exactly what Sister Augusta in Austria, the Lord is giving you. Somebody somewhere, a child of God somewhere, needs an intercessor. God wants to move. But the mystery of this our God surrounding Him so much is that He cannot do anything until He is moved to do it. And so He has the people that He knows. Anytime they talk, He will listen. And then He appoints them as intercessors. Some of them stand for a whole nation. Some of them stand for the whole family. Some stand for the church. You see? That burden comes upon you. I know a young girl in this church, when she first received it, for years it was happening to her. She could be in the kitchen, washing plate or cooking. The vision will break forth and a face will appear to her. And then she will just know, with time she now got to know, something is wrong with these people. He said, one will come, another one will come, another face will come. She will drop whatever she's doing in the kitchen, run to her room, kneel down, and begin to pray for them, one by one, until the burden leaves her. She will come back to the kitchen and continue what she's doing. It's a ministry. And sometimes she will come to church, and she will see the face. Oh, this is the face I saw yesterday. And she could approach you. Do you have so problem? And tell you. And sometimes the people concerned will tell her, yes, at so time yesterday, so thing happened. Then she will know, that was the time I was praying for her. It's a ministry. So, Sister Augusta, that is a gift. And may God increase that grace. Yes.
Shalom, Pastor.
Online, Joseph from Cameroon. Evangelist Joseph. Shalom, church. God bless you, Pastor. I bless God for this TV channel. It has really helped me. Please, my question goes like this. Does the devil understand also the true tongues of the Spirit of God? Thank you, sir. When you say it is unknown tongue, it is unknown to the speaker. So, depending on what language you are speaking. And please, the tongue that they say is a heavenly tongue. It's angelic tongue. I speak in tongue. Satan is confused forever and ever. Remember that Satan was in heaven before. So every language in heaven, Satan knows it. Unknown tongue is to the person speaking. That is what the important thing is. It's unknown to the person speaking. And the person hearing may hear, may understand what you are speaking. And may not understand, depending on what, you know, and if it is a tongue that you hearing may not understand, and the message is for you, interpretation will come. So Satan, there's no language that Satan cannot speak, because he, in fact, he understands every language, including Igbo. God bless you.
Shalom, Pastor. I have two questions. The first one is, I know that the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, when I was making study on it, I made a classification, the vocal gift, the gift of revelation, and the gift of power. Looking at the one of power, the healing, working of miracle, and faith, my concern is that faith. My question is, the gift of faith, I really want to understand the difference between that gift of faith and saving faith. How are they different? That the gift of faith the Holy Spirit gives, and our faith, the faith we have, because I was asked that question. Sorry.
The saving faith is different from the gift of faith. The saving faith is the faith that makes you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And that is the saving faith. And it is for every believer. You are a believer because you have exercised that saving faith. Now, the gift of faith falls within the power gift. Because the gift of faith says nothing is impossible. Therefore, it falls within the category of the one for the power. It comes on you, it gives you boldness to believe that it is possible. That is what that gift is.
Sir, my second question is, has been a problem with me. Luke 16. I don't know how to place that parable. I've been trying to place that parable.
The
parable of the dishonest manager. At the end of that parable, I sat down to think. I want to read that. I don't know if you found
it. At the end, read the end. What does it say?
Okay. I come from verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful. No.
The area you say you are confused.
No, there's a particular parable that...
Where he says you should make friends with mammon.
Yes.
He
started saying that the children of the world,
they are wiser,
in their generation.
And the children of the kingdom.
Now, the second one, I said, make friends. And I'll try to place this into our Christian life. How can we use this parable?
He is only trying to use an analogy to see how the wisdom that unbelievers live to make their life better here. Now, the parable says that this servant went, discovered that he was falling out of favor from his master. The master was so sacked him. And then, he decided to go to all the people that were owing the company under his charge. How much do you owe? 100. I cut off. Pay only 50. Won't you be happy? He called another one. How much do you owe? He cut off. Pay only this. Why was he doing it? So that by the time he loses his job, he will have friends. He said, this is how the children of this world in their generation, they are wiser than us. We are not preparing anything. We live very foolish life. Can't we learn lessons? If something happened to you here, where will you fall to? Won't you make friend with God and hold on to him so that if everybody else rejects you, you will have somewhere to hold on to? That is the teaching Christ was teaching us there.
Sir, thank you very much, sir. Sir, before I leave, there is a book, Behold the 666. Behold the 666.
Let me write down.
I saw your name there.
No, I didn't. There's no book like that.
Edited.
There's no Behold the 666.
Behold the Antichrist.
Thank you. 666. Behold the Antichrist.
Yes, there's something there that said that the serpent was like in the figure of a man.
Of course, for an animal to be so smart until he can convince a human being, you know that he did not come like a snake and then they do things like this. So common sense tells you that he must have been upright. He must have been. And remember also that one of the curses that was placed on Adam is that in his sweat he will now eat of the fruit of the ground. So it means before, he was not sweating before eating, because the serpent was doing all the job for him. That's why that serpent was so close to the family. He was his servant. God bless you. From Finland, Sister Juliet, Shalom Church, Pastor, please. I want to ask, if a Christian can do family planning, I am confused. Of course, you can do family planning depending on the reason for doing it. It is always our motive that God judges. For health reasons, you can do family planning. On the advice of the medical and of the doctor, the medical people. And of course, also, for exigencies, for any other reason that you and your wife can agree, by this time we should not have any child now, you have not sinned. Yes, you can have family planning. God bless you. Yes?
Praise the Lord, sir.
God bless you.
I have three questions. One, based on the Christian leaders and their reward, and baptism, and some things on doctrine. Recently, my wife asked me one question. He said I should explain what it means that you read it in the Bible that some works will be tested with fire. That after being tested fire, he now clarify them. He said I should answer, but I'm not going to that area. I just want to relate it to the question I want to ask.
Yes.
Some years ago, when some issue began to happen in Christianity with some GOs, let me put it that way.
Yes.
And when I was in secondary school, it was the first pastor I lost so much on TV, because he knew the word of God. That is the main reason why I loved him at that time. But when I begin to hear a lot of rumors, a lot of news about him, personally, I ask God.
About who? Me?
Not you, sir.
About him.
I ask God that, God, with all the work that this man has done, is he going to have fire? And I ask God to tell me. And he told me straightforward that all his work is going to be burned, but he will save him. So, and I keep it to myself. Compared to what my wife asked me that I should explain. So what I want to ask, based on the what has been happening about you and some other pastor, because people normally complain that you normally condemn them, you normally say, I'm not trying that issue, I'm not trying to defend any one of them. But I don't know, because my own life, or the way I live my own life, I normally base it on revelation. If I don't see revelation about a pastor, I won't believe you. Until God told me something about you, that's why I will follow the person, even including you. So, I just want to ask, is it not easy, instead of we condemning each other, that we should rebuke physically? Like, I believe our pastor will have access to go and meet all these deals. If you want to see them, they will allow you. If you see anything that they have done wrong, that you should rebuke them face to face. Instead of condemning them openly. Let me put it that way.
Okay, that's number one.
That's number one.
Number two.
Number two is my wife that asked me that question again, that about pool, that baptism, that you people are using pool for baptism. That is in the Bible. And I mentioned Philip, that I saw a place where Philip used pool in the Bible. I still want you to defend that. Where Philip used pool in the Bible. So, and the second one I want to ask
about the third one.
No, about the baptism. That I want to ask is that the main, because people normally say, which I believe is in the Bible also, but to me, I've seen another revelation about the baptism, that the main purpose of baptism is it repentance, or what I saw in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3.
You didn't say the purpose. Okay, that's question number two. Question number three.
Question number three. When I started coming to this ministry, to this church, sorry to mention that, I saw not once some people among us here during VG, they will be eating bitter cola, eating it different because they don't want to sleep. But like where I'm coming, like, it's our daughter, we don't allow that. So I just want to know your side on that also.
Starting from this one, we too, we don't allow it. Anybody you see do chewing gum or eating in the church, and you know, if the person is, number one, is not civilized, a bushman. Number two, because civilized people don't do that. You know, you are distracting somebody by your side by the actual noise you are making with your mouth. And number two, the person has no reverence. You know, you should put up even physical posture that portray reverence before God anytime you come before His presence. So here, you know, this if that person chewing chewing gum like that in the church, when church is going on, he's among the type of people that in the dream he will see himself wearing tattered garments. So that one is wrong. Okay, the second question is baptism in the pool. Now, you have to look at the significance of water baptism. What it signifies that matters, not where you do it. It means you are demonstrating your faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Repentance is the death. You are buried, you identify with His burial, and you come out, you identify with His resurrection. When you do that, the purpose, because you mentioned purpose of water baptism, is now fulfilled. The purpose of water baptism is for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you can baptize in any water, provided you know you are immersed. That water covers you.
What about that Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3?
What does it say?
That, let me read it.
Read it.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affliction on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, is it, because that place I normally related it with the baptism, that after you have been baptized, dead with Christ, rise up, that you should be doing all those things.
The purpose of water baptism? Water baptism is an ordinance that demonstrates your faith on what Christ did on the cross on Calvary. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Our sins are remitted through the blood of Jesus Christ. His death and his burial was to justify us, and his resurrection. That is the purpose of water baptism. The next one is, what's it? Is it?
About the pastors.
Yes. What you are saying is that I can mention any other name, but I should not mention the name of any pastor. Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir. That you should go to them directly.
I should go to them
directly to rebuke them if they do something that is wrong.
Praise the Lord. Now listen. Do you know of the man mentioned by Apostle Paul called Demas? Do you know another one that Apostle Paul called Alexander the coppersmith?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I know.
Okay. Let me also tell you this. Do you know Cain? Cain in the Bible.
The Old Testament.
Yes.
Yes.
Cain.
The Old Testament.
Cain, yes. And Abel now.
Yes.
Cain. Do you know that God went to him personally to preach to him and he still didn't change? Answer me now.
No.
You don't know? It's in the Bible. You want us to read it? God told him, why are you angry? Do the right thing and do like your brother did, and now your own too will be accepted. He refused. He refused to do it. And he was saying, okay, now, the punishment you gave me is too much. People see me now. They're going to kill me. So God is saying, okay, now don't worry you. I put a mark on you. Any man will see you, no go touch you again. Now, the Bible speaks about people who have gone the way of Cain. Apostle Paul says, some people have gone the way of Cain. This Bible is God talking to us. And anybody who is a preacher and cannot obey this Bible, he is going the way of Cain. We are not preaching to them so that they will change. We are preaching to them so that their judgment will heap coal of fire upon them. And we actually, it's not them we are targeting. We are targeting those who are following them so that they can escape. God bless you. We'll continue to call names in the church. Yes. Until they change. Yes.
As the question was going on, the experience I have some time ago flashed to me. I said, let me come and ask if it was the Holy Ghost. So some time ago, I was with my mother in the hospital. She was sick, going to 2-3 months, and I'll be praying for God to heal my mother. I'll be praying very seriously that I will not like my mother to die after spending all the money that my brother is spending, and they will take her to mortuary. So I was praying. Sometimes I will see some people that die. I said, no, my mother cannot die in this hospital. That God, you must see my mother. She will go home healthy. So at that process, I'll pray like 2 months, going to 3 months. I don't pray again. I've forgotten that I'm praying. I don't pray again. So One night I slept. I used to sleep on the floor while she sleep on the bed. So early morning, we normally wake up early morning to go and take our own bath. One morning, I want to stand up to go and do other things for myself. So I see myself, I couldn't stand up. Something just dragged me back. I said, what is going on with me? I cannot stand up. So immediately a voice came to me, said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Begin to thank me now. Begin to thank me. So I looked at my mother. I said, my mother, he, my mother. The voice was telling me, I couldn't stand up where I am. I was just like shouting, and nobody came to say, stop shouting. So I was like, he, my mother, he, my mother. I said, okay, begin to thank me now. He put a song in my mouth. I should be singing for thanks. So I was just like singing that song. So after I get myself. So my question is that, was it the Holy Ghost?
Was your mother healed after that?
Yes, she was here, and she did not remain in that hospital. And she will left.
And that's God decided that day, the prayer you were praying, like the prayer that Zachariah and Elizabeth, they prayed, so the age took up, and then they forgot about having a child. But every prayer you pray, church, is in a bank somewhere. Hallelujah. One day, amen. Each time you pray, you will always hear, I have heard you. My daughter, it is done. And you will think that when you wake up, you will see the testimony. Until for God to let you know that He is the Ancient of Days. He will do what He said He will do. Hallelujah. So that you will know and give Him glory when you have forgotten. He will tell you, you may forget, but I cannot forget. And He will come to answer your prayer. So, what happened that day was not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but God coming to answer your prayer. That's all. Yes.